Blog Talk Radio.
We've got one hell of a show tonight. Killer Bees, as I posted out earlier, it's such a great honor to be in this group of great cooks and everything in our third year. We've just moved up to the number 3 overall ranking in KCBS, far beyond any imaginable dream we ever had when we started out on this venture. It's just been so wonderful meeting all sorts of new people. Got a lot of barbecue friends out there. You know, my mentor and teacher, Rob Gray, has really helped us along. Expedited the process and the progress. And anybody who hasn't taken a Rob Gray class is pretty much a fool, if you ask me, because he's just one of the most methodical and well-knowledged people in the barbecue world, in my opinion. Several other people's opinion also. Want to give a big shout out to him and his school and everything. Really helped out a lot. Some other friends, Bob Roberts, Tillman and Grill, David Morrow from Blue Bud, who'll be on hopefully a little bit later. And, you know, just various friends around here. Waylon for a good queue, Jeff Smith from Smoking Stack. You know, you kind of get know a lot of people and stuff to give you hints here and there. And one of those little hints could be, you know, some breakthroughs. Can't thank one of my sponsors, actually a couple of my sponsors, David Bosco from Butcher Barbecue's really helped me out in some of the big meats. And also Scott Smith from Southern Q Smirkers for building one hell of a pit. Can't say enough about those pits. They've really come on strong this year and very well built, and several grand champions out there, especially this year in his first year build them. So hats off to them. Also want to thank a couple of my other sponsors. Royal Oak Charcoal has been on with us since the inception of Killer Bees Barbecue. A great supporter. Also Springer Mountain Farms. WikiQ, Jeff Campbell from WikiQ Products, if you need to check him out. And got several Phoenix Printing. Like I already mentioned, Springer Mountain Farms for coming on. Fireside Outdoor Kitchens and Grills worked for y'all. We would have never even started this team. And like I said, just a host of different people. It takes a team to make a good team. And we've got us surrounded by several good people, and you know, we really appreciate it. We've been very blessed this year, and we're not taking anything for granted. It was a lot of hard work, and hopefully we can take it to the finish and see where we come out at. But anyways, we've had a really good run. I want to thank my buddies from the Cupine Nation. If you're out there, they're coming back from the world. Y'all have a safe and speedy travel back home. And glad you came and represented the Cupine Nation. Anybody else that wants to find out about that, you can talk to Redneck Scientific or Smokehouse Mafia about that. That's all I'm going to say. Just my brothers in arms. But anyways, Killer Bees did, when we won our 8th grand this year, what a lot of people don't know is one of the grants was in the SBN, which I believe we're now in the lead in the SBN Team of the Year again for the second straight year. But also, we've got 7 grands in KCBS this year and 3 reserve grands. Moved on up to 3rd place overall, which, like I said, way outside of our expectations ever. And to be competing against some of these guys like True Bud, Warren County, Pellet Envy, 3 Eyes, Chickswine Bovine, Gillies, Swiggin Pig, Our Smoky D's, just a whole butcher barbecue. I mean, the list goes on and on and on and on. And, but tonight we got a special show. I contacted a good friend of mine. I hope I'm still a good friend of his. Mike Richter from Chickswine Bovine just won the big contest up in Atlantic City. And hopefully a new friend of mine, Darren Worth from Our Smoky D's, just took the grand championship at American Royale. And he's on the line right now, and we're going to get him on here in a second. Great win for him. I mean, 562 teams, you come out on top. That just says something. One of the top brisket teams in the country, actually one of the top teams in the country. Just great. From what I understand, he's a great person. There are a couple of my other buddies out there, and love to have him on the show. I'm looking forward to see what he has to say. Also, we'll probably have David Morrow, if he's around, he can call in, and I know him and Darren are pretty good buddies. I did see David bowing down to the King of the Royal. So I'm sure he's still on cloud 9. But anyways, we're going to be trying to pull a doubleheader this weekend in Lyons and Rome, Georgia. So wish us luck. But with no further ado, I believe we have Darren Worth, the grand champion, grand poobah, the king of the American Royale. Darren, how you doing tonight?
We're still on cloud 9.
So this is the first time you've been on here. You've got some really good references around here with David and Bob from 2 Minute Grill. Me and Bob talk about 3 times a week. And I love when Bob comes around. He's been around to 3 contests that he hasn't cooked in, and I have. And he's run my boxes in 2 of them. And this past weekend he came down and sat with us for a little while, but out of those 3 contests, we've won 2 grands and a reserve grand. So he's my little rabbit's foot that hangs off the mirror. And he will be at the jack with us, so that's always a plus. So how was the American Rail? I'd like for you to give a little bio of your team, because this is the first time you're on here. Of course, let's get you to fill out the form, but you have to give all your recipes and everything. You have to text those to me.
And, well, just ask Bob.
That I guess. He doesn't say a whole lot. Because he's good. Got a few of mine, too. And David's been trying to get 1 or 2 of his. I've been trying to help Bob with some pork, because I know he has, too. And, he came up there and tried to pour it. We got a first place in pork up there at the contest. We're always good for second and thirds. I got second and thirds out of Yin Yang. And I always win first from my other functioning bodies, but never KCBS. And I don't know why. And past week we put it together. He was there and he kept telling me he wouldn't get out of his chair for chicken or ribs. So I told him I was fixing to do the pork. He flew out of that chair and was in my trailer. So he goes, I'm going to see what you do to this now. But he's a great, great guy. I mean, he's funny. He's just, I mean, if you haven't ever met Bob Roberts and he goes and he's at a conversation, you need to go talk to him. He's a great guy. And I know y'all are friends from, you know, down in Louisiana and everything. Y'all met down there and I guess hooked up. But, yeah, him and David both. David's like his child.
Just great.
Said he never wanted. Oh, yeah. He's a child that he never really wanted. But anyway, he puts up with him. But David's a great guy. He's hopefully he feels a little bit better about his cooking now that he's hopefully straightening everything out. But so tell us a little bio about Darren. What how long y'all been doing this, and any sponsors or you know, what do you cook on? You know, how many comps a year do you do? I mean, just the whole nine yards.
Okay. Well, Iowa Smoky D's is really made up me and my wife Sherry. I do all the cooking. She's our social chair. She's in charge of all drinking, making the boxes.
Sound like mine.
Yeah, exactly. She does the dishes once in a while. You know, we started back in 2003. Was our first competition year. Since then, I think the Royal would have been our 41st Grand Championship that we've won.
Wow.
It's sometimes you kind of lose track. Of things. We've been up there. We finished 2009. We finished runner-up team of the year in KCBS behind Rod Gray from Pellet Envy. I mean, we've had huge, huge success at the American Royal. We've been there 10 years this year. This was, we took fifth place in the Invitational. Of course, we took Grand Champion in the Open. But overall, you know, our stats for the Royal just still amaze me that we finished three times. We finished fifth overall. We finished once. We finished fourth overall. Once we finished third overall. Two times we've been reserve grand champion. We finally won the thing.
Wow. That's impressive.
We've won every single category at the Royal, chicken ribs, pork, and brisket. We just on the first day in the Invitational, we got a 180 in brisket. That's our second 180 at the Royal. In 2003, our first year cooking, we got a 180 in ribs and got third. And we've got a 180 brisket here. Almost hit chicken with a 180 in the Open. I had a 179.4, so I just came up shy on a 180. You know, so the
wow.
Royal, as you can tell, has been very, very good to us.
And that's a good one to have.
Yeah, yeah, it's always been good. Yeah.
Well, that's great. I mean, that's a phenomenal record down at the Royal. And, you know, I know you're in the Midwest and everything, of course, out of Iowa and stuff. And, you know, so you've been doing it since 2003. And,
2003.
Now, how many competitions a year do you do? Do you just do KCBS?
We just do KCBS. You know, our normal year, we started out, we used to do 15, 16, 17 for the first few years. And then that kind of moved up. And 25 was kind of our normal. This year was, you know, it just seems like we've just been hitting a lot harder. We actually purchased a home out in Arizona last year, so I've got full pit set up out there. So we, you know, our season really now never ends as we fly out there and do contests. So, you know, the Royal was our 33rd contest of the year.
Wow.
We'll probably do 40 to 41 this year. So we've really hit it hard.
Yeah. Well, I know you have to these time of days. I think we just completed our 18th. Was all we've done, I think, this year at KCBS.
That's
done
quite a slugging percentage. I'm just looking at the
yeah,
results, and you're 10 points ahead of us.
Yeah, I kind of leapfrogged over everybody because I had a fifth place to get rid of. We won some big competitions here in Georgia, and Georgia's really tough because competition's always – you know, you have one competition a weekend, which is fine, but the same teams that are up at KCBS and up in the Georgia standings, you're going head-to-head with them every week. You can't get away
yeah,
from it.
That's kind of the way we are in the Midwest.
Yeah. I mean, you go to Arizona, But, you know, I stay within about 3 hours of the house. I can do 37 contests, but only about 25 to 26 KCPS within that, within reason. This is the first year we've qualified for all four of them. We've qualified for the Sports American Revival. We've qualified for that every year. Hasn't been yet. I know we need to go 1 year and experience it. And we qualified for, this is our second year qualifying for World Food Championship, which we won't go out there. It's just too far for us. And I'd rather take that money and put it towards about 10 or 12 contests next year, because that's about what it costs us to go out there, you know,
right,
to drive out there. So then we did make it into Bentonville cook-off, you know, at Sam's, the finals.
Yep.
We got in there, and then we got we had six grands, couldn't get our seventh this year, but we got a draw into the Jack Daniels World Championship. So we're really looking forward to that. And like I said, Bob will be there, and Waylon, when both of them were at a contest. I think every time they've been at a contest together, I've won a grand. So I was making sure both of them would be there. So I wouldn't have any excuses, I guess. I don't know. But anyway, yeah, really looking forward to that. That's our first time there, and, you know, we've been great company. It's just been a whirlwind for us. But so how many times have you made it to the Jack?
The Jack, we were there the first 5 years we cooked. Ever since then, we've had anywhere from four to six grands, but ever since 2009, really haven't been lucky enough to get the draw. You know, but we'll be there next year.
Yep, you definitely will. There's no mistake about that. You're going to be in a lot of things next year you weren't this year.
Yeah, our focus right now is turned to, you know, I mean, it's time to put the Royal behind us, because our Sam's Club Regional in Midwest City, Oklahoma is this week. And then if we qualify in the top 10, you know, we're off to Bentonville the week after. And, I mean, Sam's Club, we've had a great run at the Sam's Club. You know, we've won in the 2 years. We won one of the locals. We've won both of the regional championships the last 2 years. And then we took fourth overall in Bentonville last year. So,
well, that's pretty impressive.
Sam's Club trophies.
Yeah, I mean, and that's a good feat to have, because, like I said, you're doing this so-called playoff bracket type on these Sam's Clubs. I mean, it's very, very competitive. You know, it puts everybody in the same bracket. You know, when you come out there and you got 50 teams, you don't have 50 teams and one of them got, you know, several of them got lucky. You may get lucky and make it to regionals, but the regionals will weed out, you know, a lot of the ones that got lucky. And it also weeded out a lot of really good teams, too, because, you know, we lost Warren County Pork Choppers in ours. We had a bad table. If you hit the bad table, you were lucky. We had three calls. We had a fourth, a fifth, and a sixth. Then we got a 28th and fourth. And, you know, five out of six people on it. Actually, yeah, from 25 out of six people on our table was 24th or worse in fourth.
That probably worked out into Warren County's advantage, even though they didn't know that, because as it comes down to the wire, I'm kind of looking, you know, forward to the battle with them and Truebutt as the season comes out. It'll be kind of like 2009 when we were neck and neck with Rod Gray from Pellet Envy and Steve Farron from I Smell Smoke. And, you know, in 4 weeks, we're traveling across the country. We're flying to Arizona. We're flying to Florida the next week and back to Arizona to finally decide who's going to win the team of the year. And I think Warren County and Truebutt's going to come down to that, too. The advantage is Warren County doesn't have to deal with the regional anymore. They don't have to deal with the finals.
Right.
Whereas Truebutt, you know, they're pretty much tied up the next 3 weeks between the regional, if they happen to make the finals, and then they got the Jack Daniels. So they got 3 weeks worth of no points.
Yeah, for Donnie to be at Jack also.
Yeah, so Donnie's got 1 week in there. So.
Yeah, well, he wasn't awfully upset that he didn't make it. He was like, well, now I can get me another contest in there and go. And now I've got maybe four more contests I'm going to do. You know, I told my wife, you know, we don't have the wallet or anything to go chase all these big points and stuff. And, you know, if we can just finish in the top 10 overall, we're just going to be elated. I know now it's like what me and Donnie were talking about, it's baby steps now. you know, if you pick up a few points here, you go do it. Pick up a few points there, go do it.
Right.
But, you know, Donnie's going all the way over here to North Carolina. He was going to do one in Atlanta this weekend, but it wasn't going to help his points. So he's going over to do another 300-point contest over there on, in North Carolina. So best luck to him, but those North Carolina teams aren't any slouches either.
Oh,
they know
nothing,
their flavor profile.
There's nothing
up there.
Given. There's
no,
nothing
there's
given
not.
For
I mean,
sure.
Well, you got people like Rod Gray giving these classes, and it cuts the learning curve to very minimal. You know, it's just get a little bit of experience to get comfortable in the way you're cooking, and, you know, boom. I mean, you know, several teams out there have taken these classes and done very well, and, you know, us being one of them, of course. We've gotten lucky after looking at the scores, new scoring sheet. You know, there is a lot more luck involved than I originally anticipated. And I think a lot of people, it's kind of an eye-opener. And, yeah, they've been doing this scoring system in Florida for a while. So you can kind of tell and keep track. So it doesn't surprise them at all. But, you know, it's I like the new scoring system. You know, that way it lets me know if it was me or if it was the judging or if it was something else. So, you know, I think it helps the cook as much as they can do. Now, case being open a can of worms, they're going to have to figure out what they're going to do with it.
Right, but, exactly.
And, yeah, I talked a little bit with Mike Wozniak on it. He said, that's all fine and dandy. And he said, now, you know, they got the software, they got all this. Now, you know, they're going to have to step up to the plate and decide how they're going to do all this. And, you know, he said they got a lot of meetings ahead of them to see how they can, you know, fairly and, you know, everything, just handle any situation. But, you know, I think also it could give the organizers tools to use as far as picking the judges and stuff. You know, there's around here, there's so many judges that can't get in to a lot of contests because they're flooded, you know, with judges. And, you know, some of the judges that I've seen out there, they just don't like barbecue. You know, I'm sure you got them out there too. Nothing.
Oh yeah.
Nothing impressive or anything. Well, you know what? If you don't like it, then don't do it. You know. You know, we don't ask to get all nine. You know, by no means. But you know, we would like it to keep. And what I mean by the big thing is to promote the organizers too. Is if you go, you know, if you're low scoring judges consistently low, then you want to spread them out. You don't want them all on the same table.
Right.
And you know, it'll help with the judging process, but we're not going to touch on that. So where are you off to next? You got your regionals this week. Your regionals this week, and then you got
yeah,
the
we're off
the
to Midwest City, Oklahoma, and then we're then hopefully we're on our way to Bentonville the week after. Haven't decided the weekend of the Jack. I probably should try and pick something up. Might take the weekend off. And then our plans are kind of getting changed. I had planned on cooking Laughlin, Nevada last week in October and then staying out in Arizona and cooking the World Food Championship, which I'm signed for. But now with winning the Royal, we've been invited to go compete in the Kingsford Invitational out on an aircraft carrier in New York City.
Wow.
So I've got a decision to make whether I'm going to go to Laughlin and then, you know, fly back to Des Moines and grab a pit and go to New York or what I'm going to do. So got some logistics we have to take care of now with yesterday's win.
Yeah, there's some serious problems, right?
Yeah, terrible, terrible problems.
Yeah, it's like, you know, I was talking to Jeff from WikiCure and I said, you know, I got to drive all the way out to Bentonville, Arkansas, I'll come back and then go back to Jack. And he's looking up in the air like, I'm trying to find somewhere I can feel sorry for you, but I just can't. He said, it might come to me in a minute, but he said, I just can't pull that out how I can feel sorry for you at all.
Exactly.
Well,
exactly.
I guess you're right. I wasn't really complaining or bitching. I'm just saying, you know, it's just going to be that's a lot of road miles for me and Mama. I'll put it that way. She doesn't do good in a vehicle. She's never been in a vehicle over 7 hours, eight hours. I think we went to Pensacola, Florida one time, and that was long as she's ever been in a vehicle. And, you know, much less pulling the trailer. So she's really not looking forward to it. And she goes, what if I fly out there? I said, by the time you go to Atlanta, wait on the airplane there and fly out to Little Rock and rent a car and everything, I'll be there. You know, I'm like, it ain't worth it. Just, I'm going to give her some Ambien, let her go to sleep. So what kind of pits do you cook on?
We're cooking. We've got two Jambos. We've got one down in Arizona, and I've got an enclosed model on the back of a 40-foot gooseneck trailer that we cook on out of Des Moines. So.
Well, Jambos are really good, and we cook on a gravity-fed system. But, you know, there's been so many grands this year, one on Jambos, it's not even funny. I mean, it just seems like every year just more and more people are just, you know, kicking it out of the box. I think more and more 180s are coming off of them, too. So I've done the stick burner my first year of doing it, and I went to the gravity feds, and we got good friends of ours, Midnight Burn, just bought a Southern Q smoker, gravity fed smoker, and they actually sold their Jambo. And they own a restaurant, so they were having to cook, you know, Friday night and Saturdays, and they never could get over that so-called jet lag. You know, Saturday night, they'd either have to head back or Sunday morning. It'd take them a whole day to get over it. And, you know, Wayne looked at me and said, you know, we're not getting any younger. And, you know, we'd been knocking it out of the park. And so we got them hooked up with the Southern Q. They sold the Jambo. And first couple cooks, they did okay. And I tried to work with some different timelines and stuff. And this past weekend, they got third overall. And they were sitting at awards. They said, well, how'd your cook go? I said, well, we had a good cook. Everything we liked this weekend came off really well, came off on time, and had good flavor and everything. He said, you know what the best part of it is? I said, what? He goes, I got 7 hours of sleep last night. I feel great. So I'm like,
I can get 7 hours of sleep, too. I just need to make sure I go to bed at 9 o'clock at night.
That's right. Well, he went to bed at like 10 and got up at 5. That's what I do. I put my meat on at 9. I throw about a 8 or 10 inch log on there at 10 o'clock. Shut the door, let the guru do its thing, and I get up at 5 o'clock. I wrap the meat, you know, put it back in there. 7:30 doing my ribs. 9:30 doing my chicken. When I put my ribs on, my big meats are coming off. I mean, within 15 minutes, and it's been like that for almost 2 years now.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And, you know, that's just my timeline. You know, a lot of other people are doing a little bit different. But, you know, we're talking about Bob Tillman, the grill. He did the practice cook on his stumps. Told him what my temperature was. I'm really wanting him. I mean, he's helped me out in a couple categories and stuff. And, you know, we kind of tweaked some of my, you know, my chicken and stuff. And it's really leveled out. You know, it was up and down. It's really helped me level them out a little bit. And so I'm really wanting Bob to do well in pork, and we've been hitting pork pretty good. So, you know, he did a practice cook on my timelines and stuff. And he said, I'm going to do exactly what you said. He went to bed at 10 o'clock, got up at 5, and he said, I caught him that morning. He said, well, I hadn't. He said, all came off, you know, about the right time you said it would. He said, that pork looked phenomenal. He said, I can't wait to cut it at, you know, at 12:30. I said, okay. So he called me up at about 1:30, and he said, I'll tell you what, I can't cook any better pork than what that came off of. He said, I'm not kidding. That was the best pork. And then when I cooked it this week, and he ate some and got him right on the sauce and everything, that good old North Carolina sauce, and he ate it. He said, that's got to be some of the best pork I've ever eaten. And so he was pretty pleased that, you know, I told him exactly what I did. You know, and he's looking forward to this weekend down in Rocky Mount. So, for all the boys going over to thinking they're going to get an easy win, you better watch out for the old man, because he's a sneaky little bastard. He is. He'll get that little shitty possum grin on his face. And how's your cook? He just grins. You know you're in trouble. And it's kind of funny, because we were up in Salisbury, and they were saving the first place winners. And we had a third in chicken. That was the only call, which was a huge shock to us, because we hadn't been, you know, if we make top 10 chicken, we're elated. And we got a third out of 72. I'm like, holy crap. And then we didn't get another call. And you know, we knew the ribs were good. We knew our brisket was dead on. But you never know with the judge and everything. There were so many good cooks. And Bob's still sitting with no calls. Well, see, we're having flashbacks from Kings Mountain, because he didn't get a call. And he's sitting in the corner, and he won chicken, won ribs. Anyone brisket, 704, you know, blah, blah, blah. Just blew the field apart. And So we're sitting there, and he's got a grin on his face, and I said, did you do it? He goes, I didn't do it today. He said, chicken was dry, this was that. And I said, yeah, I've heard that crap before. So we ended up getting, I forgot who got a call in chicken, and then we got a call in, we got our first in ribs. Somebody else got, Redneck Scientific got a call in pork, and we got a first in brisket. So we took it with us almost a 706. And they're calling out top 15. We finished 16th in pork, but we were tied for 15th, actually. So, that was a really good win. But, you know, you never can count out Bob because he's always lurking.
And that's right.
He always has a strong. So where was the first time you met him at? Was it down in Louisiana? Or?
Yeah, down in Hammond, Louisiana. Yep, through David 2 years ago.
Yeah, both of those guys are great guys. David's a cop down there in Hammond. So
it's always good to know a cop when you're in Hammond.
Oh, yeah, I heard that. That's why I had to take my raw grade class. So I know what you're talking about. But no, they're great people. That David, he's a nut. He really is. He's him and Slesser. I borrowed a top bunk at a contest in Apex, North Carolina, because took my little bitty trailer, and the Thursday night we got there, I got there a little late, and he said, just bunk in here, and you can fix your trailer up tomorrow. So I did, and those two had me laughing the whole night. Oh, my God. Just going back and forth. It was quite hilarious. And, I know you know what I mean. So if you've been around him at any time at all, you know what I'm talking about. So, Bob said you have this awesome brisket recipe.
I'm sworn to secrecy. I just happen to be able to cook it better than those two.
That's right. Apparently he does too. He is too. He ain't letting up. He come over there and he go, he was down there. Were you down there in Louisiana a couple weeks ago?
No, they were begging me to come, but I didn't.
Yeah. Well, I think in Hammond this year, I think he went down there. Weren't both y'all down there this year? He wouldn't compete. I think they went down there, didn't they?
That's when we were struggling with brisket. And, you know, about a week before, you know, David said, hey, you're struggling in brisket, I'm struggling in pork, and I was hitting in pork. So we changed a few recipes, you know, exchanged a few recipes and cooked each other and, you know, so then we go to Slidell, Louisiana. This was right after Hammond. So we'll go to Slidell. I cook his recipe for the first time, hit 180. He cooks my pork recipe and hit second. So, I mean, the thing is, I think we've hit top 10 in brisket, I think, 28 out of 33 times.
Yeah, that's not a bad average.
That's not a bad average for cooking somebody else's brisket. I did tweak a little bit, but.
Yeah, he said you have this magic sauce or whatever, but he likes to tell me just enough. And I said, what is it? And then he kind of looked at me and walked away. I'm like, oh, you gonna be like that? So now Bob's got my whole pork recipe, and I mean I can't tell you how many times, but it's what you truly said. What you said was true. You know, you can have the recipe, but until you cook it, you know, the way it's supposed to cook, you're still not going to do that well. You may do a little bit
right.
better, but, you know, it's the first of all, you have to cook the meat first. I got another buddy of mine. I got some chicken notes from him, so I gave him my brisket notes. And he was always pulling it off a little too early and doing a couple other things. And I'm like, why can't you just do exactly what I told you? So we had him down at Sam's Club down in Charleston, our local. And he was cooking by himself, and me and my wife were down there. And I told Jan, I said, make sure, you know, you keep on him. And you know, I want him to make it through the next round. I said, everything short of me cooking your meat for you, you're going to make it to the next round. I said, we both are. But I said, you got to do, especially the brisket, which, you know, he was great in chicken. Don't get me wrong, he was hammering chicken. His ribs were up and down. He just needed consistent cook on his ribs. His fork was the same way. His fork was up and down. You know, he had to put them all together, but his brisket was really, really bringing him down. And so, you know, I'd go over there every so often because I knew what his timelines were. I said, you do this, this, yep. You got this, yep. Okay. And I said, take it. I said, don't take that off till X number of degrees. I don't care how good it feels, cook it till this. You got to do it. So he did it, and he got like third in brisket, and I was like 11th. But he came through and beat me for grand champion. I had four calls, and I had three calls. He had four calls. And, you know, he got grand champion down there. And, of course, his wife goes to every one of them except that one wasn't there. So I said, well, welcome to my wife's world, because I got six grands before she even came to one that I won a grand at. She was always known as Reserve Grand Jan, because every time she show up, I get a reserve grand. Would never get that grand until last year, and then, of course, now we're just reeling them off. Now everybody's calling her Grand Jan, and, you know, some of these George Chins come up, you bring Grand Jan? Yep, damn it. Leave her at home. I said, that's my rock. That's what I got to lean on, you know. It's always good to have them along. Somebody's got to drink alcohol. You know, and but anyway. So, how's the weather up there in Des Moines? Aren't you from Des Moines?
Yeah, beautiful day today. 70 degrees. Just coming into fall.
I know y'all had some severe weather at American Royale. Did anybody's how many tents were lost or?
Seem like anymore. We didn't get. I mean, it was windy the whole time, but I didn't see any tents flying because everybody saw it coming. They were tied down pretty good. So we had a big, you know, we had a really gully washer storm on Thursday morning for a couple hours. It just rained a lot. And then on Friday night, about 10 o'clock, it blew in. We didn't get much wind with that, but we got rain for about an hour. But since I cook out of a trailer, I always like to see that rain about 9 or 10 o'clock on Saturday or Sunday morning.
Oh, yeah.
Blow in, help take out half the field.
Well, I like to see about 2 o'clock in the morning, the rain till about 9. That's what I like to say. All right, we can count most of the stick burners out. Let's go on to the others. You know, because like what yours doesn't, the weather doesn't affect it. Mine, it doesn't. But there's several of them out there that it does.
Sure.
And, you know, I'm like, hey, it's all part of the game. Yeah, you got to use it to your advantage.
That's
so,
right.
So you're sitting there at the Invitational and the Open. I know you got a couple calls in both of them?
I just got one call. I got the 180 in brisket, which got me second place in the Invitational, and then got fifth overall. And then I got third in chicken and 14th in ribs. In the Open, so.
Now you're sitting there in the Open and you're hearing all these names being called out. I know you get to a point to where you say, well, he's gone, or he's gone, he's gone. Hey, I think I got this thing. So
I didn't know that I had the thing, but I thought I figured I was top three. And since I'm, you know, me and my wife, it was our anniversary yesterday. We were married 23 years, and you know, we always celebrate our anniversary the week of the Royal, and the actually falls on the contest. The last two times our anniversary has fallen, we've on the actual contest day, we've gotten reserve grand both days. And I thought I was set up for another reserve grand, but it just so happened to come out. And I had a pretty consistent cook. I thought pork was the best that I had turned in. You know, in a long time, and I thought pork was really solid both days, and they didn't like it either day. I mean, we took 198th in pork in the Open, but we're still able to pull out it.
Yeah, well, all you got to do is just do better than the next guy, right?
That's exactly right. You know, at the Royal, I always say when you're at the Royal, one call is usually going to win it, and if somebody gets two, there's a really good chance, so.
Yeah, and that's what I was saying, and you had two calls, and you know that you've done pretty well in the past, and so that's why I was wondering if there was a point in there where you knew that, hey, you know, I could I'm there.
Well, you never. Yeah, you're cautiously optimistic, you know, and everybody around is going. By the time we figured Burnt Finger had it, and you know, when they got called for 11th, it came down and we started eliminating the people that had, you know, all these people that had two calls. You know, they start one by one, kind of eliminating them. You know, so it was like, okay, we either bomb something or we, you know, we got this thing won. So until it really hits, till you get your name, you know, till you hear that Iowa on the front, you know, that's it was pretty exciting.
Well, that's good. You know, like I said, David and Bob talk highly of you, and you know, they just don't talk about anybody. So. You know, well, they usually
they talk a lot. But they don't talk a lot about anybody, right?
That's right. They don't talk a lot about anything. I mean, it's you know what I mean. It's like, but they just do it, I guess.
Yep. But no, yep. No, they're both good friends. We David and I talk on at least a weekly basis, and you know he went in kind of a slump this year and. And he was cooking through, and I just knew in my mind he was changing stuff. And I told him a couple weeks ago, I said, David, what are you changing? I know you've went around, and I know this is way, and you know you're in a slump, but it's mainly because, you know, just the luck of judging involved. And I said, go back and cook your old recipes. He didn't hit reserve grand, so.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times,
you know,
that's
Bob,
tough to do.
Well, Bob's been telling him for weeks, you know, you – if he doesn't hit like in a week or two, then he starts changing. I mean, not tweaking. I'm talking changing. And we're all like, what are you doing? Well, this one hit. It didn't hit these two. So what? You go from, you know, Louisiana or whatever up to North Carolina. There's going to be a little bit of difference. You don't change it totally. And he got another recipe for pork. And I mean, I didn't like it at all. Me and Bob looked at one another and said, you done got off the deep end. You really have. It may work for them, but it ain't going to work up here. They bombed in it, and you know, we're like, go back to your recipes. No, they weren't doing that. They weren't doing this. They weren't doing that. And we're like, well, a lot of people say that, and they go back to their notes 1 or 2, 3 years ago, and boom, all of a sudden they're starting to hit again. You know, I think, you know, some of us get caught up in the tweaking it. They tweak it so much or tweak it every week, they're tweaking the wrong direction.
Yep. Yep.
And
I don't know where you started from.
Exactly. And it's hard, like you said, it's hard for them to get back to where they were. And, you know, but like you said, you know, everybody knew you knew how to cook a brisket. But it comes down to a little bit of flavor profile. It's like, okay,
yep.
I know I can cook a brisket, but they're not killing me on texture or anything. They're killing me on taste. So what flavor profile do I need to go? Now, I don't know how far east you've gone. I know you go all the way out west and everything, but in my opinion, I hadn't been out west, so I don't know, but I've got several close friends and stuff went out there. Does the brisket change from east to west as far as flavor profiles, or have you noticed anything? Or
I don't think so. I mean, I don't cook a lot. I haven't cooked a lot in the East Coast, hardly any at all. I've cooked a little bit of Florida. But as far as east, that's kind of on my bucket list for next week is to, or next week, next year is to kind of hit that
week.
East Coast a little bit, just to try things out. But as far as, you know, I've cooked everywhere from Iowa to Louisiana, Oklahoma, up into Minnesota, Illinois, out into Arizona, Nevada. And I can tell you, I'm cooking the same brisket week in and week out and have since March.
You know, and that's what I do. You know, well, of course, I stay in the Southeast, but, you know, I don't change anything that I do. You know, I've done 4 or 5 different sanctioning contests here in Georgia. I've done a GBA, which is more set up like a Memphis and May style. You know, you got pork, you got ribs, and you got pork loin. Well, my pork was the high score of the day. Then you go to the finals, of course, I got kicked in the balls there, but, you know, they take the top three and do another whole plate and all that stuff, but we still finished 3rd out of 48 teams, my first GBA, and then they added chicken and brisket, and I finished 2nd behind the same guy that won grand there because he beat my butt in pork loin. Yeah, I'll cook pork loin. And but he beat me by 20 points of pork loin in the GBA side, but in the overall side, he only beat me by like 8 or 10 points. So I had him in brisket is where I killed him at. But and he's a good FBA, GBA team. I mean, don't get me wrong, he was no slouch. But and then, you know, my SBN is just mainly pork and ribs. And South Carolina Barbecue Association is pork and ribs. And then, you know, Florida is all for meat, but they're no garnish. Been there and out of hour apart. The only FBA I did, I won a grand. I won a grand in every sanctioning body that I've done. Well, not GBA, but SCBA, if it hadn't been for aroma category, the five that I've entered, I would have won all five of them. But they have an aroma category that you can manipulate hickory smoke in your box or whatever, how you want to. So they have an aroma category. And I'm like, whatever, as soon as you open the box, the smell's gone. Yeah, I'm like, so I hadn't figured out how to manipulate that yet. But we've gotten seconds and thirds in that. But, you know, the meat and texture and the taste was all better than everybody else's. So, but like you said, I don't change anything. You know, a lot of people say Georgia wants the pork sweet and North Carolina wants it vinegary. I've got a good sauce that works well in both places. We're actually the number one team in the Georgia Barbecue Championship Series, which is all the Georgia contest. We've cooked five, and we're second overall, and we're first in pork. And the person that's in front of me has cooked 11. He's gotten about 12 points in overall. And I got, and I, like I said, I'm winning in pork. But they take your top five. So I've just done five. So I don't have any to, you know, kind of like Casey West points, I don't have anything to knock any of other scores out. So we're top five in brisket. We're top five in pork. We're fifth or sixth in ribs. And then we're like 12th in chicken. So, you know, I still got plenty of time to catch up to those guys. But so do you ever compete against Mike Richter from Chick-fil-A and Bovine?
Just a little bit. We have, you know, Mike down, especially Hammond and Slidell.
Yeah.
That's pretty much the only time we see him.
Yeah, I know. You know, he won a big contest up there in Atlantic City. And he's actually, like I said, I don't know if he met him. I know Mike goes down to the Deatol, Louisiana contest in Florida and, you know, the Alabama ones and does that southern tour, so to speak. And but he's on the other line right now. Mike, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well, Jim. How are you?
I'm doing well. We've got Darren Ward from Our Smoky D's on the line.
Yeah, congratulations, bud, on the open. That's freaking awesome.
Thanks, Mike. You too.
Yeah,
Mike kind of forewent the American Royale for your own personal reasons. So they had a contest not too far away from you with some really good prize money.
Yeah, I mean, it's 21-hour drive to the Royal versus, you know, 3.5 to Atlantic City. And Kate's got the Atlantic City Alliance, the casinos, to put up $50,000. And, you know, it was kind of a no-brainer. We've got some things going on. So it worked out. We're planning on going back to the Royal next year. I think with some of the changes that we're having in our life right now, I think we'll end up doing more along the lines of what Jay Reeder from 420Q did, and probably go out and do a contest the weekend before and maybe one the weekend after and just relax. It's a long drive just to turn around and come back. And heck, we didn't get 10 miles from Kemper Arena last year and burnt the hub up on the pit, so.
You got David Morrow's type of luck.
Yeah, well,
nobody's got that.
Yeah. I don't know what I did to the axle on that thing. I mean, it probably at the time, I mean, I'm probably pushing 140,000 miles on that Jambo right now.
Wow.
But we went somewhere or another, axle got twisted, something. You know, bouncing down the road, these highways aren't the best in the world. And we, 4 months, we burn up three hubs. but one of our sponsors came through and completely overhauled the Jambo. So, you know, new axle and new decking and everything else. It should be good for a long time now, I hope.
Another 140,000 miles, huh?
I hope so. I mean, speaking of Jambos, and I know you're a Southern Q man, and they're great cookers, and I talked a friend of mine into buying one who got his first GC on his third cook with it. But Jambos had a good weekend this weekend. The Invitational, the Open, and got Ronnie Caton's contest, so it was a good weekend.
Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. This is from a Southern Q guy, Darren, you know.
Yeah, you know, there's probably 1,500 more Jambos out there than there are Southern Qs. So. Southern Q's been exception for a year.
Yeah, they've been kicking butt this year. They've got like 33 GCs, but heck, between you, True Bud, and us, I think we're pushing that this year. Well, just a few Jambos. So.
Yeah, with his 15, my 15,
well,
my 7, and who knows how many
that. Yeah, True Bud's pushing that. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Well, you know, you got me and Scott and Swiggin' Pig. Yeah, that's 21. Yeah, that's about 20, 24 grams right there just between us three. So,
yeah, well, I know. My buddy
we
Gary,
got a few scattered around there.
Yeah, they're. I mean, it's a different style of cooking.
Yep.
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. It's just.
No, I mean.
You know, I'm a fan of the stick burner. I had Langs before I went to the Jambo. And, you know, the Langs got us to the Royal and to the Jack. But the I've had several long conversations with Barry. Barry's a very good friend of mine. And his theory on the Jambo cooks winning is, yes, they're great cookers. They're great pits. And, I mean, we all know that. But he thinks that the actual cooks pay closer attention to what they're doing when they're cooking on a Jambo.
Right.
And that may make the difference because, you know, we don't put our food on there. We don't set it and forget it, you know.
Right. And, you know, I think that's a big key to it, too. I mean, there's nothing wrong with the Jambo. I mean, they can handle cold weather, rainy weather. They're great cooks. And, you know, what I was really impressed with was, you know, when you start doing your damper up top, how minute a little move on that can, you know, swing the thing 10 to 15 degrees. You know, but it's like anything else, and I stress this every time, it doesn't really matter what cookie you cook on. If you got hot spots, cold spots, because Jambo's got hot spots, cold spots, I know all about them. You know, with the Southern Qs, we have some warmer spots and some cooler spots, but it all goes back into learning your pit, practice on them, and knowing what they're going to do in different situations. And because believe it or not, I know y'all have, you know, either been behind or been way ahead in your cook at one point in time, but you know, you have to weather through that, and you have to know what to do, you know, for that cook so it comes out when it's supposed to. And the big thing about learning your pit.
Yeah, you have to know your cooker no matter what it is. But I don't know. I could pretty much put a container of biscuits all over my pit, and they're all going to be done about the same time.
Yep, I'm the same way.
Yeah. So
I know Rod's was a little cooler in the very middle than it was on the edges. And that's where the heat comes up and down on the pit that he had. Now, you know, I don't know if different pits with those cook a little bit different, you know, because we're on trip, there's always some minute things in different pits. But you know, with ours, you know, we have about a, you know, about a 10-degree difference from one side to the other. And, well, basically, bottom right to top left is about a 10-degree difference, which if you really want to get something done quick, you put it down on the bottom right. If it's, you know, going along a little too quick, you put it on the top left. That's basically it. Everything else cooks about dead even. And,
I had a good friend
years
ago, not to 10 to 20 degrees one way or the other. It doesn't make a whole big of a difference.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't.
So.
It really doesn't. You know, but you know, y'all have your timelines. I know. Jambos love to be run from 275 to 325. That's their, I guess, sweet spot. With my Southern Q, my sweet spot's between 245 and 275. And I know with Scott, with his water pan cooker, I call it the boiler maker, his sweet spot's between 325 and 360. So, you know, I said, that's not really smoking. That's more like searing. But, you know, if it works for you, go ahead. And he was actually cooking in Kentucky this past weekend and got a perfect 180 in brisket. And I'm like, you finished 18th. What was so bad that you had a 180 in brisket and you still finished 18th? He goes, have you looked at the scores? I went, no. He said, look at ribs. I said, why? He said, first ever in my life, I got a DAL in ribs. I said, you're kidding me. He goes, they were on there the next 15, 20 minutes or something, got busy doing something, forgot about them, burned them up. He had like a 148 or something in ribs. He said, DAL, buddy. I said, well, let's get out of the way now, not at Sam's or something. He said, well, that's just it. He said, at least to happen on one, it won't cost me a whole lot. But he said, if he'd finished in the top 23 in ribs, which he's always hanging around in the top 10 in ribs, he would have won the contest. So he's like, yep. I said, well, everybody has one they kind of give away. I gave away one up in Unicor, Tennessee this past year, which would have been my seventh. But, you know, it all goes true. Now, what do you cook at, Mike? You cook around 275 like most Jambos?
I hang around 300 on mine. Because, once again, that's where it seems to like to cook.
What temperature do you cook at, Darren, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm at 300, but once the ribs hit the pit, I'm down to 275 and won't let it get a degree above that.
Right. Now, y'all got the damper set pretty much, you know. I know it's Walt from Rocky Top. He's adjusting it a lot and everything. Do y'all have to kind of pay attention to that? Or,
once I light my fire, it's open when I started. Once I adjust it, I may move my boiler door a little bit every now and then, but otherwise I don't touch it during the cook.
Yeah, it's pretty much the same, except for, you know, like this weekend at the Royal, we had some, you know, we were constantly, the wind was blowing most of the weekend, and you know, we started out having really strong wind into the stack, and then we had really strong into the firebox, then it was back to the stack, and it was constantly back and forth, so it seemed like I was fidgeting with the pit a lot. But for the most part, you know, on a normal condition day, it's just set it and make sure you throw a log in there every 45 minutes or so.
And that's what impressed me the most, because y'all only have like two or three logs in there at a time. And I know some people move some over to the right side just to have it in the box. But, you know, it's not going to catch fire by no means. But y'all, you set the fire right there by the intake. And you know, it's just amazing how clean those things burn and get two or three logs in there and a little bit of, you know, embers in there, and it's sitting where it's at. It's just impressive on how it holds the heat.
Yeah, but I would say most, I mean, Darren could chime in, but I put three logs in when I start, but pretty much after that, I'm putting one on top of the coals in there.
Yep.
If I've got some on the side, you know, like if it's raining or something and I want to be quick to when I'm out in the rain, because, you know, I cook mine outside. I don't have it on a toy hauler. My next one may be that way. That way I don't have to hang out in the rain any longer, so I can just grab it from there and, you know, throw it right on the fire. Or if it's really green.
Well, that's the thing about those Jambos is that, like I said, it doesn't take a whole lot to them. There's a lot of people out there that have them. And they've gotten probably more 180s than any other smoker out there combined. Just because I guess it's just the way the smoke rolls over the meat and everything, and the constant temperature it keeps, makes them all, you know, uniform. So, you know, like I said, I saw Walt from Rocky Top cooking with his, and, you know, they'll play with the things, but I think that's more just him than the smoker. I know you know Walt, but Yeah, he's kind of antsy. He's kind of antsy, so it's almost like he's always going to be doing something, you know. So, great guy, don't get me wrong. He's a great guy and a great cook, and he's really coming on this year, too. And he came out of nowhere with his jambo, so that'll be good. So, where are you going to next, Mike?
I'll be close to home in Clarksburg next weekend, and then make that long ride out to Bentonville. And then when I'll get down your way for Shelby, coming Plant City, and then I'll end up in Demopolis for the year in December, and then I'll be done until Lakeland next year, next January.
So we're going to find a good pizza joint in Shelby this year to eat?
No, that place last year wasn't so bad, the one we finally ended up at. We definitely won't go to that family restaurant that we...
No, we had a great time there. Actually, Friday night we're doing a pizza category for the ancillaries, and Midnight Burn own a awesome restaurant up in Hendersonville, Tennessee, North Carolina, right below Asheville. The Flat Walk Wood Room. They have a pizza oven they imported from Italy, and they get their dough from the flour from Italy, and they make dough every day, and it's a real light, crispy crust, and we did some in Salisbury on a propane, one of those Weber propane pizza thing. So we kind of redneck rigged it, so to speak, where we cook, and we had to beat double pizza stone out stuff. Pumped out some phenomenal pizzas on that thing. We're like, holy crap. So I'm taking my Memphis pellet smoker up there to give it that wood-fired char to it, you know? And they're great for making pizzas because you can crank them up to 600 degrees and let them roll. And so Friday night, make sure you're around our place because we're going to be doing a lot of practice pizzas. And these pizzas are unlike anything you've probably ever eaten. And they'll knock your socks off. They are awesome. When we went to try them this year.
It sounds good, but I'll probably be in bed when you're eating the pizzas. Barbara might come over and eat some.
No, it'll be... Well, I think it'll probably be about 6 o'clock.
Oh well, I'll be awake then. That'll work.
Our turn is around 7, so we're going to do some practicing on them first. But it only takes about 3 or 4 minutes to make one. And Cameron Wayne got to come over there, so I said, "All right, here's what we're going to do. I'll enter killer bees in it. You bring the pizza stuff over. We're cooking on my grill. Y'all explain to them what it is." Because she said, "Oh, no, you need to explain it. It comes from Italy." I said, "No, you can explain it. You can come over there. You can explain it." And I said, I'll take the winnings. You take the trophy. Because y'all have a nice restaurant. Y'all can just put gobs and gobs of trophies in. Y'all can take the trophy. I don't care about the trophy. And I just want it for kind of like bragging rights, you know. And so they're all game for that. I mean, they've got a wall of people. I don't know if you're up on what we call a wall of shame, but they got all these pictures of barbecuers up there on the wall, and they love meeting new people and take the picture, and they'll frame it, put it up on the wall, you know, have different names on it. Then if you ever go in there to eat, then you have to autograph it. So it's pretty cool how they do that, because they love the barbecue community. And, you know, as
it's
we all
hard.
Know, we all love to eat it.
Good people, so.
Well, it is.
Hey,
I mean,
Jim, I'm
going
to have to go.
Okay, Darren, that's fine. I just wanted to thank you for coming on the show. And
hey, thanks for
congratulations.
Having me.
And do you have any sponsors out there you want to give a call out to? Or,
nope, just me,
notable?
Myself, and I.
Well,
I'm lucky enough to have three restaurants in Des Moines that kind of fund my really bad habit.
Well, that's great to have. But I did notice one thing I wanted to bring up, though, Darren. I noticed that your wife had the robe on. First.
I still haven't got to put it on. As far as I know, my wife, I've never seen her freak out so much in my life. I'm going, "Settle down, honey. It's just the royal."
Yeah, just the royal.
Just the royal.
Well, that just tells you right there, you were in shock.
Yeah,
were
I'm not
shock,
sure. I'm not sure it's even sunk in yet, so. But.
When it does, it's at the end of the season. You look back at what you did. You know, that's when, you know, we're looking at it now because, you know, like I don't know if Mike was on here. This is only our third year. We're already third in the points, and we're like, it's just blowing our mind. It's phenomenal. But I'm also, you know, I know we're lucky and blessed to do this and have friends, you know, like Mike and y'all all out there and everything. And, you know, I can't stress enough how great the barbecue family is out there, how strong it is, how positive they all are. You know, it's just great to meet new teams everywhere you go. And, I mean, they're just like you. They take the right side of their brain, throwing it away, and they're barbecuing. So, you know, it's just great to have.
I've just got to focus on being with you two in Bentonville in 2 weeks.
We'll definitely have to see you out there. My money's on you, though. I'll tell you that.
I just got to get there first.
we skipped the club last year, but you know, the first year, the winner of the Open also won the Sam's Club.
Yeah, an Iowa boy at that.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I don't know.
And last year, an Iowa boy. 1-2.
Yeah.
Well, let's
yeah.
Swirl that head on. You know, the crown ain't going to fit his head for too long, Mike. The head's going to start swirling, and he's going to have to order a bigger crown.
But you're hot, you're hot.
That's
right.
What else? We always say,
okay,
ride that
guys.
Wave. All right.
I got to run.
Thanks for being on the show.
All right. Congratulations.
Thanks, buddy.
Okay, thank
Congratulations
you.
Again. Thanks.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. So, Michael, how many more competitions you got this year? About five?
Yeah, I think that's about it, five or six. With Clarksburg, Bentonville, which doesn't count for any points.
Right.
Shelby, Cumming, Plant City, and Demopolis.
Okay, you got about six left.
Yeah.
Now, you still holding classes, or...
Yes, we're still doing classes. We're doing quite a few private classes at some contests where they, because, you know, I'm not talented enough to do one thing at a class with a group setting and then do something different at a contest, but some people, you know, doubt that. So they'd rather, I mean, if you're going to come to a comp with me and be in the way, it's going to cost more money. It is. I mean, we've worked it out. I mean, we've had people come that actually I was solo, and it worked out well. They were able to stay in the coach and, you know, with me and all the other good stuff. But went to Kentucky, did a class last year, and for like 7-8 teams, and three of them got their first GC this year, so that was good. I believe I'm going to go to Ohio and do a class, and then we'll see. I mean, I may, if we get ready to move, we may do one here locally. Tuffy kind of talked me out of doing one right where you sleep, you know?
Yeah. He was, you know, Rod Gray did one up there in Yorktown, Virginia, and he was kind of kidding with me. He goes, yeah, Tuffy's not real happy with me about doing one in his backyard.
No,
not
that he wasn't unhappy with him. It's just, look what it did. I mean, Tuffy's a great guy.
Oh, yeah, he is. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, but Rod's... And he, you know, he's doing classes, and he and Johnny team up sometimes. That just raised, I mean, there's so many classes out there now. It's just raised up the level. The learning curve has just jumped tremendously.
Yeah, right. Not much of one at all.
Yeah, well, so Rob's out there, you know, with flavors that work consistently, and he's given these classes where all the folks around him were able to come get them there. So these are people he's battling, you know, week in, week out, that are cooking, you know, similar flavors.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you can get your, if you can stay focused and pay attention to what you're doing, you know, you're going to be in the race. I wish that I would had taken a class several years, probably 3 years before I took my first class. Tuffy was telling me to take a class.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife finally, you know, put things into perspective. You know, when I was working, you know, I was sending people for continuing education, you know, to learn their jobs. You know, I was getting trained. Back when I was a contracting officer, you had to have a certain amount of training to maintain your warrant level.
That is, yeah.
So, I mean, it's, and we, you know, I take classes now. My wife and I go, and she's fantastic at taking notes. So I'm more of a hands-on. I need to see what's going on.
Right.
And she's able to listen and write everything down. We were at Yorktown when Johnny and Rod were there, and she typed all the notes up. I took them down to Hammond and asked Johnny and Rod to read them, and they both said, I mean, they made some very minor changes and asked for copies of them. That's how meticulous she was taking the notes.
Well, Johnny probably needs them so he can remember them.
I don't know about that, but it. I mean,
he was. Thing is, Johnny is great. He's got great flavor profiles, but you know, Rod's told me on several occasions. Well, you know, Johnny's getting a little older, so he may forget this or forget the time on this and everything. And we were down there in this class in Hammond, Louisiana, and Johnny was sitting there telling us about them going over to Iraq and stuff, cooking for soldiers and stuff.
Right.
He's putting a rub on his ribs, and he put the rubs on the ribs, and he looked up and, you know, said something, started putting some more rub on the ribs, put the bottle down, looked up and said something, started laughing, put some more stuff on the ribs, and his wife reaches and he's about to do it again. His wife reaches and grabs it. That's enough of that.
Yeah.
He didn't even realize he was doing it. But, you know,
when you've done it as long as he has and experienced everything he has, I don't know that he really worries that much about it anymore. You know,
I don't think he does either.
I'd like to have his resume. I wouldn't worry so much about it either. I'd love to win the Royal or the Jack, you know, just once. But, I mean, he's the only man to win the Jack twice. So.
Yep. It's impressive what his resume is. And, you know, and I don't think he's really changed anything over the years. I mean, he's still hammering them out, you know.
He's got one or two 1/8 here, so.
Yeah.
And you were talking about 1/8 earlier, and there's been a lot of them on the Jambos. There's been a few, and you get into, we can talk about the debate over 1/8s here, but my personal friends, king of 180s to me is Barry Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
His daughter Brooke made a 180 belt for him. I mean, he's got two or three this year, I know, and I think he came in the year with 8 or 9.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, he's, and you know, as far as the debate over 180s, they are extremely rare up in the Mid-Atlantic and the Northeast.
Oh, I know they are. A 680 is extremely rare up there.
Yeah. We've won with 630s up here.
I know.
My buddy,
I've seen them.
My buddy Jerry from JD Smoke and Misfits got his GC on his Southern Q. He won with a 650 down in Richmond.
Redneck Scientific won with 642.
Yeah.
I mean,
We were reserved to my, you talking about Covington?
Yeah. Yep. It was pretty impressive on, you know, when you look at the scores, and, you know, Martin Brandon told us, and I think he mentioned, yeah, if you want to lower your scores, come on up there to Midwest, and he said, we'll show you how you can lower them.
We had a good cook, and we had a 670 last weekend for the win.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's a good for up around this area.
You know, some contests I've noticed are just kind of low-scoring contests, you know. And, you know, case in point, this past weekend in Lawrence, I went back, looked a couple of years back, you know, 670 won it last year. 673 has won it. 668, you know, has won at Lawrence. And usually, you know, typically in South Carolina, they're a little higher. And so we went over there, you know, of course, we won it this past weekend. So, hell, we won it with a 691. And, you know, the people that have been repping it says that's phenomenal in its own case because next door is a 677.
Yeah,
677. And they said, beauty at 691 here is huge. And, you know, I was like, well, we'll take it. You know, we had a good cook. We'll take it. And it helped
well,
us pretty good bit of points, too.
Duffy did on Saturday in Kansas City because, you know, he won the Invitational with the 700.
I know. That's amazing.
That's against, I mean, the if you ever go to the Royal, you know, it's, in my opinion, it's two different judgings.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously it is because it's two different contests, but the judges for the Invitational are more professional judges.
Right.
And I would say maybe a little more critical compared to the Open, which there's a lot of folks there that, you know, I mean, you got almost 600 judges. You know, some are, you know, your rib's overdone, they think it's perfect.
Exactly. And that's probably more the case than you need to cook your ribs to get that. You got a better chance to overcook something if you don't have to cook it.
Well, our first trip out there, we got a rib call with ribs that were good, but they had a snafu while they were trying to figure something out. So they were talking to the team that had just received a call and said, well, what'd you do special on your ribs today? Because I overcooked them. Exactly is what he said. That was for the Open.
Yeah, that's pretty open. Like I said, they want them, you know, 90% of the Open judges want them falling off the phone pretty much.
Well, they want them like most of our friends want to eat them. You know, you go to a restaurant,
yep,
most
exactly.
People want them falling off the bone.
Oh, yeah. And even around here, Mike, it's better if you overcook them than if you undercook them. But we did have one or two, like up at Van Jones Kid this year. I was talking to Rob, and he goes, how's your cooking? Well, we're up in the fence on chicken, and my wife walked out of the trailer on the ribs because they were too tough. And she said, you just gave it away. I mean, not me personally, but the ribs. It's more the ribs than it was good. And, you know, they were the temperature and everything. They just would not pull off the bone. But we got an eighth in ribs, and we were shocked. We tied for first in chicken, got an eighth in ribs. We knew our pork and brisket were good. We're going up for the pork, and Rod was in front of me, and he didn't get a call in ribs or chicken. And he was in front of me and goes, I read this time.
Yeah. I've seen that
they were.
And had it surprised. One of the funniest comment cards that I've received, we were at a contest earlier in the year. Great flavor, you know, looked good, enjoyed, but the ribs were almost overdone. So that means they were, like, perfect, you know? You know,
exactly.
I'm like, oh, my God. You know how hard it is to get them to where they're just on the verge, you know?
Exactly. That's a very technical detail right there. Very fine, minute. Well, you know, I don't know if you thought, I was showing the comment card we got in Shelby last year about the ribs. I was running behind on something, and Jan was blazing the ribs for me. And so we get a comment card back on the ribs and said they were gooey. They were like, what's gooey? What is, was it too much sauce? Were the ribs like way overdone and mushy? What? You know, you're going to have to do a little bit more explanation than gooey.
Yeah.
And,
We cooked a new contest this year a couple weeks ago when we were lucky enough to win down in Virginia, but it was a test site for the new comment cards. And
lucky me.
No, the new comment cards are 1,000 times better than the old because it encourages them. It's got a little, they can check things.
Yeah,
it's
like multiple choice.
Yeah, the board did a good job coming up with, it's going to be more information for the cook. instead of somebody writing, you know, overdone or whatever, you know. But, you know, if at least if they say too salty or something. But, you know, it's funny, you get some of these comment cards that says, well, you know, I can taste this in it. Well, I don't even use that, so how could you, you know. It's some of them are great. I was, we cook against Three Eyes quite a bit, and they got a comment card one time on their ribs, said they looked artificial, looked too perfect. look artificial. And I'm like, oh my God. Now that's crazy.
Well, I had one of the contests that said I drive 50 miles to eat your ribs. They gave me like an 898. I'm like, all right, what?
Yeah.
Or that makes no sense.
Yeah, the best thing I've eaten all year, and it's an 888.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like,
and I mean, I don't understand. I don't know if the judges are waiting on that flavor that they had in their mind from 100 years ago. I swear I don't know. Some of them are scared to give out the nines, and some I guess are probably too free with them, because I know we've got nines a couple times and there's no way it should have been.
Right. I mean, there's good and bad in both of it. It's just trying to level them off, and yeah, you're going to have some low scoring judges that just consistently score low. And the big thing is, you know, we don't want all nines, it'd be nice to, but, you know, we want them to use it as a tool to kind of, I guess, split, you know, keep from having bad tables, you know, split the judges up accordingly to score, you know, their average scores, and then the, you know, they do the women, they split them up, they do new judges, they do the master judges, you know. So hopefully,
well, the good reps do. I would say all of them do, but I say the good reps make sure that that's the case.
Exactly. And we're getting better and better. The reps are getting better, in my opinion. The ones around here are. We've got some really good ones, Kathy and Philip Frazier. You can't beat them, too.
They're two of my favorites. They're very, can count on them to run a clean table inside.
Oh, yeah. And Ernie and Linda Poland, they're right there with them. I mean, they're good as gold too. They take pride in that, you know. That
yeah. Well, did you read? Because you got the same score sheet. Tom Hillman was up there cooking the Jim Beam this weekend, and he was, I guess, there was a table. I forget what number it was, but none of their four meats was, according to his post, was higher than 20th.
It sounds like us in Sam's Club.
Well, no, this was last week. Oh, your score at Sam's Club. But, I mean, so, see, if they went through four meets, they had 24 samples of food. And none of them would, I mean, there was a good team list you guys had up there. None of them had.
Yeah, we had.
Not a single one was.
In their fairness, they out of the 24 samples they had all day, they had one, the highest one was the fifth place in chicken. They had two that were 14th place, and then they were actually 22nd on back. And in pork, the highest was 22nd, and the bottom, was it five out of the last six were the bottom in pork, and I was one of them. Boom, boom, boom. They didn't, and see, a judge came on, Joe B's and Blazing Butts put a post out there, and the judge came on, and that was just one of those judges, and he's trying to defend himself. I'm sitting there saying, there's no way in hell that you can tell me that out of all the people that were up there, the quality of cookers that were there, several hundred grand probably, between Florida and all these other barbecue associations. I said, you cannot tell me that every piece of meat you had sucked. I said, it's not the cook's fair. I'm telling you. It's the way y'all are judging. And he got on there and said, well, you know, I cooked on a team and blah, 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 blah. And he said something about the name of the team, and Joe comes back on and says, I've never heard of that team, so why don't you cook with a real team and see what it really takes to produce a quality product? Because, you know, they were upset about it. And, you know, there's nothing you can do about it, just venting and stuff. And he came on and tried to defend it. I said, you can't defend something like that. Now, if it was one or two meats, yeah, I could understand that. You know, you have off days on pork and, you know, this and that, but not all four meats, 24 of those cooks up there. And
right.
That was what we were trying to get a point of.
But on
and,
the opposite.
And we're not saying kick them out, you know, take another judging class and cook with another team and, you know, see what you think. Because I've cooked. I'm a big supporter in having judges cook with me. And we've already done, we did five or six last year. We've done six or seven this year. I got a couple more that want to go. But now that we're kind of aiming towards points, I really don't want to be cooking with a judge to, you know, kind of throw me off my game, which none of them, don't get me wrong, none of the ones we've had has ever gotten in the way. They were a big help. But I just don't want that opportunity to be out there. But everybody that we've had in our trailer and stuff, they taste our food. So I've never eaten food this good at a contest. I said, amongst all these teams, they said, you know, even up in Franklin, we had two new master judges cook with us. And they tried our pork. This pork is phenomenal. This brisket's off the chain. We got 29th in pork and 18th in brisket. And they said, how did that happen? You tell me, you're the master judge.
Yeah, welcome to our world. But, you
yeah,
know, on
I
the
said,
okay, opposite end of the spectrum, you go to some contests and the same table is ranking all four meats high,
exactly.
Yeah, you know that. So
that's what I'm saying. You know, and that hurts too. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I'm hoping KCBS. You know, if you got a judge and they judged six contests and their average is like a 26, all right, you need to do something with that judge. Either put him back in school, find out what's going on. I mean, we had a in chicken up at Sam's. And this wasn't on table five is what we call it, you know. We had all nines in appearance. We had like, we finished six in chicken. We had like a 2999, 2989s, a 998, then we get a 677. And what I want to do is I want to take that judge over to the side and say, okay, here's the chicken. You build me a box that you think is a nine. If that is not a nine, you know, when you put, even in brisket, you put your slices in there just perfect, your burn ends, whatever, and they're just perfect. There's nothing else you can do. Everything's even all the way around the edges, and you get a seven in appearance. I want that judge to tell me why he gave me a seven and everybody else gave me a nine. Just let me know what was wrong with it. You
well,
know,
and I mean, it is subjective, but I have confidence with, you know, I'm a optimist on that part. I like the members that are on the KCBS board. They've all got their strengths, and they're wanting to do what's best. And I think they'll come up with some way to approach the judges that are really low, as well as those that, you know, I'm sure there's judges out there that are
really high.
You know, okay.
And that's what I'm saying. We don't, you know, we don't want that either as a cook. You know, we know there's always going to be, you know, subjective, you know, for flavors and all this other stuff, but appearance is something that, you know, you can only do so many things with brisket and chicken and ribs. You know, you get pretty creative with pork, but those you can only do so much with, you know. So, you know, a lot of judges are giving the teams the benefit of the doubt, but you got some, I don't know if the new judges or what, if the new way they're training the judges is off or whatever. You know, they say, well, we start them at six and work up. Well, here's my thing. Don't start them at a nine. Start them at an eight. You know, and that's, good barbecue at eight.
Then you end up, I mean, several years ago, there were 180s everywhere.
Exactly, because they were training them all to start at nine.
When they changed the scoring, you know, it because you were just getting over and over and over 180s. And, that you know, that's not good either.
Nope. But you know, but when they say six is average, you know, in our world, a six to us is almost like unedible, you know. That's how we feel about it. You know, seven is below average to me. Eight is, you know, between average and a hair above average, and nines are, you know, exceptional. You know, so if you come in at six, especially new judges, and they don't know the whole judge thing, I really like for them to, you know, when they start to be a judge or within the first four contests or five contests, go cook with a team. And then to get your master judge, you cook with another team or whatever. And
I agree with having the judges cook with the teams, but there's not, I mean, there are a lot of teams that will have people
not
cook with them, but
exactly.
That's also, you know, that's the one, the master judges have made that commitment.
Right.
So having them cook with the team is, you know, is good. I mean, I agree with that. But some of these judges that are, you know, we've got a couple contests up here that I think the judges cook, they judge one contest a year because it's the judging class and it's a large contest, so they need judges, and that's the only one they're going to judge. And for them to be able to go somewhere and, you know, be gone for a weekend, and, you know, a judge cooking with me is not going to just show up Saturday for turn hands. You know, they got to be there for the trim. They got to be there for everything.
Right. So that's another thing too that concerns me with the newer judge is because they'll get the bug or the urge like what we did, you know, and they may decide to go out and cook. Well, they know, you know, you're not going to show them everything. You know, I know that, but you may show them enough to go and start get a good idea of what's going on. And, you know, then they start cooking themselves. And I'm not a big fan of that. I'm not a big fan of, and a lot of people in Georgia know this, that people going out and judging one weekend, turn right around and cooking the next weekend. Because if you're a good cook, then you can kind of manipulate some flavor profiles and get new ideas of boxes. I don't know some people that do, but a lot of them don't. But, you know, if you're going to judge, I really wish I'd have a 30-day grace period where you just cook again, you know. I mean, that's just there's so many judges trying to get in there to judge, get their judging in and all this other stuff. You got teams that have been doing it for years, so they kind of get, you know, preference over some of the other ones. And, you know, but so we need to take a judging class. No, I don't. I just, you know, I just think you either judge or you cook, you know, unless it's a special, you know, event or something or, you know, whatever. And,
Every cook should be a judge, and every cook should judge a contest or two. I mean, it's tough. When you do the number of contests that we do to take away, and you want to do the points because the points change. I mean, they change every week until the end of the year. I mean, to take a week off to judge, you know, is... It saves you some money, but, you know, it's a lot of folks won't do that. But it's nice to go in there and see how other people are doing it. It's also nice to go in there and listen to what the judges are saying when they're able to talk after the meet's done and stuff and talk to them,
right,
you know, afterwards. And we've, you know, there are some judges that historically walk by and will tell you that they didn't have anything good, and you know you're like, okay, why are you doing this if you never get anything good? And then there are some judges that say that, and you see them carrying their cooler out afterwards. I don't understand that either, but I like sitting next to. Hey, bye. I just let Bonnie in, and now she's all ready to play.
I got somebody else by one way. I think David, is this you?
Yeah.
So David,
that's
I know
me.
You know Mike Richter very well.
Yeah, I know Mikey good. He good.
Hey,
people.
Buddy.
Hey, brother.
So you just getting in front of the Royal?
You made it home safe.
Yeah, we've been in like 30 minutes and just got the truck unloaded, and I looked at because I was listening to some of it when Darren was on, and I was like, oh, crap, I said. I looked at the time. I said, I better call him now. He's going to get mad at me.
Yeah, we'll invite you back now. You know how that works.
Well, it's probably because I was so excited because I made it home in one piece up there and back, so you know what I mean.
Well, you know, I told you I sent some of my mojo your way, so you shouldn't have any problems, and you didn't, so...
Well, I mean,
you
just started something now
because
you're going to send every contest, you're going to say, I sent you some mojo now from now on.
Well,
and send it to me.
So what's the difference of, you know, I started sending you mojo and you ain't had no problems. So, you know, Something's got to be working. What do they say on the Bud Light commercial? It's only weird if it doesn't work.
Yeah, yes. I'm just happy it did.
I mean, the accidents and the bad luck, David, and everything, as long as you're safe on the job, buddy.
Well, that's fine. That's the only place I was safe.
Well, that's
I could walk in the middle of a shootout and not get hit with a bullet. I get in the truck to come home and I have a flat tire.
Yeah, well, that's better than you getting shot at. I mean, we appreciate you serving the public and stuff, but it's a dangerous occupation, especially with some of those drunks you got down there.
Oh,
well, see, that's just because with his gravitational pull, the bullet actually goes in orbit around him. So it doesn't actually get to him.
That's it. It's more like I'm a sergeant now, and I can send the other ones in first and see what happens.
That's right.
There you go.
I got your back.
Sure.
Yeah, I was young and dumb too at one time, so I can stuff out. So, David, you had a good time out at the Royal, I see.
Oh, yeah. I tell you what, it was a blast, and Darren, you had on the show earlier. I mean, he's adopted me, and I've adopted him as a big brother, and I'm a little brother. Same thing with you, And then, of course, Mr. Bob being daddy, that's what I said before. I mean, you just can't beat the barbecue world sometimes. The people that take you in and love you, And, I mean, it's been great because, we were up there, and, of course, we were lucky. Jerry and Brian Redneck Scientific actually were right next to us. So we had a little bit of a hometown feel, at least, at a normal contest.
The Cupi Nation. The Cupi Nation. Do you know about that?
No.
You don't know about the Cupi Nation?
No.
I'm going to put it out there on the air. I don't know if they want me to or not, but I'm going to put it out there on the air. Something they started. You have to go to YouTube, and you have to watch this for everybody listening. You have to go to YouTube, and you have to watch Brown's No Pork. And you have to listen to it. Because you will laugh your ass off. It's on Family Feud. And it's called Brown's No Pork, and it's on YouTube. It's probably one of the number one things on it, but you need to see it because I'm not kidding you. You will roll. But you gotta watch that whole little clip though. It's like 4 minutes, and you will roll. So it's called Cupi Nation. I'm not gonna let anything else out. I'm gonna let y'all watch it, and then next week when I come on my show, we'll have a discussion on it. But I'm not kidding. Y'all will die. Y'all will absolutely die. So, you had Darren and Jerry and them out there at the Royal, but I had Bob and Andrew at my side on Saturday.
I think I had the better of the deal on that one.
Well, let me explain this to you. Every time Bob shows up and he's not cooking this year, what have I done? I've got
$2,000
in reserve. All right, every time I'm cooking against, have Bob and Waylon at a cook-off together, I win grand. Well, guess who's going to be out at the deck with me? I'm going to have Waylon, and I'm going to have Bob. They're going to be the blockers for Jan, but they will be there.
I'm going to call Las Vegas and see what the odds are and probably bet on you then.
Hey,
so,
I'll let you guys visit. I'm going to go ahead and get off of here. Hey, Dave, tell us to give Celeste a hug. And,
I sure will.
Jim, we'll see you and Jan here in a few weeks.
Good luck
at the Jack. And, David, I don't know if we'll see you. Are you going to Cummings?
Yes, sir, we'll be in Cummings.
All right. Well, we'll see you there, buddy.
And congratulations on your win this weekend, Mike.
All right. Hey, and before I get off here, let me do a quick shout-out to Springer Mountain Farms Chicken, which I know you're a fan of Springer Mountain Farms Chicken also.
Yes, I am.
And as well, Quigley Motor Company, which overhauled the cooker, and they treat us really, really good. And last but not least, Butcher Barbecue. You got to trust your butcher. So,
David's a great guy. David's a great guy.
Yes, he is. And, I mean, his product's fantastic, but he's a better man. So,
oh, yeah, definitely. And he'll help you no matter what. So he's been great to us, and he's really upped our game. So, well, Mike, I really enjoyed having you on. I'm glad you could take time out of your busy day to come on here, and we'll see you out there in Bentonville, and have safe travels, and good luck.
You too, my friend. All right, you guys have a good evening.
All right, Mike.
All right, buddy. Take care, Mike.
Bye.
So, David, was this your first American Royal visit?
Yes, it was. It was our first one.
And I guess you, how long of a drive was it for you?
It was about right at 14 hours, a little less than 14 hours. So it was a little bit of a haul.
That's what I got to do next week.
And I have no sympathy. Three hours from my house with 27-30 contests.
Yep. That's always nice.
Yeah.
You know, Nashville was always the longest one we had. But, I didn't envy you at all going back and forth to North Carolina, Louisiana. And I'm hoping in the future that it's kind of toned down a little bit and you're not on the road that much.
Almost to a degree.
I know why you did it.
Yeah, I loved it. And I was, we were doing so good towards the end of June and ranked up there in a bunch of categories. And, I actually kind of lost, I hate to say it, my way. And, of course, Dad coming down kind of knocked me upside the head. And, of course, Jeff would give it to God Barbecue. And they kind of, and, of course, you. And then, of course, Darren got on to me a little bit, too. And, I kind of got my head straight because, we were going back and forth so much up there, 8-9 contests. And the thing about it was I put too much pressure on myself to win or win in certain categories or I needed this. And I took all the fun out of it, going visiting and seeing people and, the sportsmanship part of it. And I kind of lost my way, I hate to say that. And, it got almost to the point, the last one when we had cooked Ashland, Mississippi on the way back. I was 50 miles from the house, hit a chunk of 18-wheel tire, couldn't miss, 4,000-plus damage to the RV, I got home, and I was just in tears, with everything, and I was just like, I don't want to cook no more. I don't even want to go to the Royal. You can cancel. I just don't want to even – I said, I'm through. I said, I just don't understand anymore, and, Dad was coming down, and he talked to me some, and, I still hadn't got my head right, and then, we go to Vidalia, and – I did like I did last time. I was like, if I could have hooked up to the trailer and left, I felt like I had the horriblest cook. I don't know why I came. And, some reason, it all turned around there, and we got a reserve again and got our name called four times, and top 10. And, and then I started talking to her, and they got on to me, and I kind of looked at it, and I said, well, we're going to the Royal. We're going to go up there. We're going to have fun. I don't have any expectations with 174 and 500-plus teams. We're going to see our family, our friends up there. We're going to enjoy it. And that's what I did, and, I hate to say it, it rejuvenated me, and it got me back to where I should have been and got my mind right and just did. And I hate to say it, I'll take the two cooks we had at the Royal, every single cook, and I will be the happiest man in the world. So,
well, me and Pop's talking, and it's like, you weren't in Jordan anymore. We're like, why are you doing, even up there in Franklin, when you were coming back up for the last time, you got stuck, and, it's like you said, it was one thing after another, and I'm like, this whole thing is starting off where it's, it's all like one big family, and you're going to have some things happen to you sooner or later on the road, but it just seemed like everything was happening to you at one time. But it was like, and it gets you down. I can't imagine being in a position you're in, but it's like, if you get to the point where you don't enjoy it no more, then, it's time to just step back, like you said, and just take a hiatus from it or whatever, or get your head straight, and then approach it from what you did in the beginning when you were winning, which is you're going out and seeing people and having fun. And, that's our main thing. We go to contests. We like to venture out and stuff. And meet new teams and help them along and everything. And, I helped the team up in Salisbury. And, hell, I helped him with his ribs and his brisket. He got like a 5th in ribs and a 10th or 11th in brisket. And real good friends with, Scott from Smoke This and stuff. And where he worked with Scott and Dennis. And he was freaking elated. He calls me once a week now. And he said that it's a black couple, and they were so much fun to be around. And, you know, he was sweating, got him a smoker and all this other stuff. So I was telling him some temperatures, and he said, "Mom went out. They bought him a. They did. They were throwing the meat in the cooler, and they bought him a Gambro, or you know, similar to a Gambro. And then they got him a thermopen, which I told him he had to have. And he got something else. Oh, he got his guru fixed. And because I gave him one of my gurus so he could do the competition, it was acting up on him. And he said, you know, Dennis came over and told me what a great neighbor I had by me. But he said, man, for you to do that and help me with my ribs and my brisket and meat, because he just wanted one call. You know, top 15 call, he was happy. And he got two of them and finished 14th overall. I mean, you say that they got a standing ovation. I mean, it was just unbelievable. And, oh, man, they were just – they were very gracious. He's still thanking me, congratulating me. You know, and that's what it's all about, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I enjoyed it more for him than I did for myself, to tell you the truth. It makes me feel, I guess, like what you say, all warm and fuzzy inside. When you can help a team like that. Now, Rod Gray helped me at a contest, and I got one of my first calls. And so I just, you know, he said, somebody told me what to do, so I'm just passing it on. So, you know, that always stuck in my head. So, you know, that's what I'm doing. You know, if I can help a starting team get a call or something, you know, get them pointed in the right direction, you know, I'll do it, you know. But, you know, it's under my terms. I don't want people coming up asking me this. He never asked for a thing. I asked him if he needs some help or whatever. He said, I sure would. If you don't mind giving me any tidbits, he says, I'm a sponge. And he took it, ran with it and had a great time. And, you know, I'll see him up in Shelby. And, you know, even Bob knows him. And, but yeah, he's a great guy. It's a lot of fun. So,
so we got our head back in the right spot, I believe, now. So, of course, like I told him, I said, you're still going to have to knock me up to the head every once in a while. But I said, I understand, stand it. And like I said, I know what that feeling was. The first time I got that seven-place little certificate and thought I won $1 million and you couldn't ask, I was calling everybody, hey, I just got seven places, Fulton, Mississippi, and brisket in the pro category. Oh, my God. You know, and I mean, I hate to say it, I felt like a kid in the candy store this weekend again back at the American Roll, you know. And, I mean, you know, we were very, very fortunate with the caliber of teams that was up there. And like I said, we were going up there, we were going to have fun. You know, we were going to try to cook good, but we were going to go up there and have fun. And that's what we did. And, I mean, and like I said, you need to go to the American Roll. Everybody needs to go to it once. I mean, we had so much fun, as long as it is a trip for me. I think we're going to still go back next year and probably for a few years. Because, I mean, there's just, it's unreal. The dark side, they say. The easiest way for me to describe what it's like on Friday night with the parties and when you go onto the other side of the Kemper Arena is a Louisiana Mardi Gras on Bourbon Street and an LSU football game all rolled into one. It
that
is
bad,
just unreal. The parties, the people, how they decorate these sites. I mean, it is just, you can't describe it. It's just like, wow. You know, and I mean, it was a blast. It was a blast. And we got to meet a lot of people, got to meet a lot of new people, got to meet a lot of people with Darren he introduced us to. You know, Little Pigtown, Gillies, you know, Big Papa's, Sterling Ball, you know, Smokers. I mean, we got to meet a lot of people, got to meet the legend himself, Mr. Blues Hogg, you know, because of Darren. I mean, so it was a great time. And like I said, we were very fortunate and got on the floor once each night and I don't know how to describe it other than I felt that way that I first time I got a certificate, you know, because we were lucky enough to get fifth in ribs in the Invitational. And, son, it's been a long time. You know me. I usually don't jump up and run up there hooting and hollering. And I come up out that seat like fireworks went off on my behind. It was just, I don't know what to tell you. You know, and then, of course, they called out the top 20 overall, and we got a 6-80-something on the first night, you know. And we got the 18th, you know, and to hear the Blue Bloods name with that caliber of teams twice and to get that call. And we actually tied Tuffy for fourth. That was just, that just rejuvenated me and just made me so happy. And then the next night we were lucky, you know. And, I mean, I didn't even care if I heard my name. I was so happy that I, you know, for what we got. And, you know, the next night, you know, we got 16th and brisket and got on the floor again and got to have what they say, dirt under your feet, getting on that floor. And, you know, it was just, it was like, wow, you know. You know, I come in 18th overall, and I was just the happiest man in the world. Of course, like I said, the caliber of teams is just, it was almost like a dream. It was a blast, man. It was awesome.
That's great. You know, another thing, too, the icing on the cake was having a good friend like Darren up there winning it, too. And I know he's good friends with you and Bob and stuff. And that was just, you know, I was actually watching it on barbecuewire.com, and Bob told me to go on there, and I was catching the last part of it. So, yeah, we were hooting and hollering, too, when he won it. And
yeah, that was a blast. I mean, that was just, that was awesome, you know, especially right there. And, I mean, like I said, we sat in the middle of all those teams that we all see or, you know, what you're trying to aspire to be, like eventually that's, you know, that's names you always see up there, you know, at the top. And we're sitting in the middle of all of them, you know, and they're talking to us and just being as nice as can be, like we've been there our whole life with them, you know, because Darren's introduced us to us, you know, and it's just, you know, it was awesome, you know. It was a magical time for me, you know, so.
Well, that's good. We're real proud of you and everything, and hopefully got your head screwed back on a little bit straighter. It ain't ever going to be straight, but.
Nah,
you know,
I can't make
little,
it all the way straight.
Little,
we didn't have nothing to talk
little
about.
Little cockeyed ain't bad, but, you know, at least it ain't sideways between your butt cheek. But anyway,
and of course,
now we're real pleased with you, and we're praying that, you know, you'd have a safe trip up here and a safe trip back because we didn't want you to have a relapse.
No, and actually we dodged a couple bullets here and there somehow. I don't know how, so I guess the voodoo did get broke because a couple weeks ago, if you saw the video, posted on Facebook, she burned a police sock monkey, a pig, and a cow in the backyard in the pit.
Yep.
And when she did that, that's kind of when it changed. She, one of the girls that they're doing a charity thing for down in New Orleans that she went to school with, she got a couple football poles for the Saints games, and the last couple of times she's done won two or three quarters in the last three or four ball games, and it's like, well, maybe it's changed. And of course we go to Vade and it changed, and then we go up to the Royal and we get to get our two calls on the floor, and so hopefully it's that little bit's changed. But I think part of it is, though, I didn't put that pressure back on me to win, to go have fun, cook what is, and, you know, it was a blast. And, of course, Carrie and Brian Luke, 5 o'clock somewhere, which are really, really good friends to Darren and Misheri, they took us in like family, too. And so, of course, like I said, the bad luck getting changed. We get up there and, what, I guess Friday morning or Thursday. Thursday morning we're going to go eat at Oklahoma Joe's and cranked the truck up and stopped and saw Smoke Me Silly, Lexi and Robert, and the truck won't go in gear. Won't do nothing. And, of course, who do I run to? There's Darren. And I'm like, Darren, I need you. Of course, you're not there, so I got to go to him. It would have been you and Dad.
That's right.
But, you know, Darren's there. So he comes over there, and, of course, Ted with Shiggin' and Grinnin', Jeff and Ted from Shiggin' and Grinnin', Ted came over. We got to meet them last year, this past March, and Slidell and made good friends with them from Minnesota, and they're great people.
Minnesota.
And Ted came over there, and both of them are underneath my truck trying on the phone with people they know, and they're trying to help me fix my truck. And, of course, we get the truck fixed, but first gear is still messed up. It's got to go in the shop. But that tells you that everything's going back in my favor again, and, you know, it's getting back to like it should be because the truck was messing up in first gear, but we could put it in first, second, manually shifting it. And I was able to come 900-something miles back home and got home with the camper behind me. So that was very nice.
What year is your Dodge?
It's a 2006.
Okay. My old Ford Dodge, it's a shift sensor on my transmission that it was pretty common going out in its first gear.
We're hoping that's all it is. So.
Yeah, that's what mine was. And they said it's pretty common. They didn't have a recall on them, but my transmission guy said it was pretty common with the, I mean, he fixed it in no time. He knew exactly what it was, where it was, and got the fix, got me out. And he said, you know, for them, it was about an hour fix. You know, they have to drop transmission, change it out,
and actually, there was an 18-wheeler, I guess, south of Jackson, huh? Celeste had a giant blowout with tire chunks everywhere in the road. Don't ask me how, but we flew through it and missed everything and kept rolling. So any other time, I'd have went, oh, crap, it's over with. Just shut my eyes and do my hands up in there.
Yeah.
But
let's
so
see how
we
bad
dodged a lot of
be.
Bullets this weekend, but we kept a positive attitude, too.
Well, that's good. That's what it's all about. I mean, you want to have fun, and you know, I know it was kind of hard being under the pressure you were at there in the summer, and you know, all things that happen and everything. But you know, hopefully, you'll be a lot nicer to be around. We can stand you.
Yeah, I need
minutes.
To. I have no excuse for that, and I ain't gonna lie. And yeah, knock me upside the head anytime you want, but just be gentle once
actually,
in a while.
I did buy a thing, a tire thumper at a truck stop, so I got something I could whack you upside the head with. So
no,
where y'all
congratulations.
Up to next?
Congratulations
you,
on going to third, too, brother. Proud of you. So.
You know, that Jan called me up today, and, you know, we won it yesterday. We were trying to figure out, she goes, how many points? I said, I think I got a fifth to get rid of, and then I got three reserves. And I said, I'm not real sure. So, you know, I said, we can jump this many points to this many points. And I said, you know, it depends on what people do in front of us. And, you know, and for us to jump to third, she calls me up. She damn near probably swerving all over the road. She was just hooting and hollering and, you know, all this other stuff. And you know, she said, you need to go and look. She said, you are third in the country, actually third in the world. And she said, that is just unbelievable. You know, we never thought, you know, ever since we started, we'd ever even make it in the top 10.
Well,
and,
when
you know, for us,
started
and we
winning.
May not finish there. We may not finish there, but, you know, we're there right now. So I told her, I said, at least we made it that high.
Yeah, and when you started winning during the summer and you didn't have all your cooks, I remember telling you, as soon as you get your 10 cooks, you're fixing a catapult. I said, because it's your year, it's your turn. The way you're cooking is just, you know, it was yours. And, you know, like I said, I'm extremely proud to call you my friend because you've helped me so many times. And even if you weren't at the top of the barrel or you were on the bottom, it doesn't matter. You know, you're a great friend, great person. You've been there for us. You've helped me. Watch me sit on the side of the road with the hub and tire missing and everything else. So.
I was there for you, brother. I was there for you.
And I needed
but,
it, that's
yeah,
for sure.
Well, you know, we appreciate your y'all's friendship, so we have a good time. We love y'all like brothers and sisters. And, you know, you know, I can't reiterate enough the barbecue family that's out there and what you do for one another. And, you know, it's times of need that, you know, it's like the true family. You bond together and get through it, and, you know, you kind of pull for your friends to win, and just have it's all about having a good time and enjoying life. And you know, this barbecue world's new to us. Like I said, it's our third, four year doing it, and we just got a lot of friends out there, and we just enjoy them all. I mean, it's you know, there's no more me. I used to love it last year, the year before, us sneaking into a contest. You know, Killer Bees, who are they? You know, a couple people knew us and stuff, but. Towards the end of last year and definitely this year, everybody's like, you ain't sneaking in nowhere, buddy. We know exactly who the hell you are. Whatever, you know. But you know, it's been a fun ride. And, you know, if we can stay in the top 10, it would be great. I mean, we're happy as hell, you know, just even getting up this far, this late in the season with the trio of cooks that we have compared to everybody else. And,
well,
you
won a big contest, too.
Yeah, and that helps a lot. And,
major contest.
You know, we've gotten lucky a lot, so.
I'll take a little bit more luck and a little less voodoo.
There you go. Well, just live life right, and I'm always a big fan of karma. You know, if you help people out, stuff good people, good things come to good people, and that's why we try to live our lives. So.
Yep.
But where you off to next?
We are actually headed to Cullman, Alabama this weekend. We'll have our little debut of our little 20-foot porch trailer that Deep South built for us, Randall. It's all marked out and nice and pretty, and she's ready for her debut at the prom. So we're actually going to take that this weekend.
It's a de-virginizer.
Yeah, we're going to take that one and The inside's about 95% finished. It's enough we can cook in and everything, but Mama's got to sleep on a cot or on a blow-up mattress in this one. This one's not built for luxury. This one's built for catering and for cooking, you know, when she couldn't go, and that's what it was made for. And but we're going to take it because the big one, like I said, Berryland Campers there at the house takes care of me so much. It's got to go back to them tomorrow, and it had over $4,000 worth of damage from the last time. They fixed it enough so we could use it for the Royal and for Vidalia. So it's fixing to go there for a few weeks, and then it'll come back when we go to Cummings. And then we'll be done because we're going to cook Cullman and Cummings, and I may accidentally cook St. James, Missouri in November. But other than that, we dropped some of the other ones off just because of everything that's going on and to get our heads back right and just to relax and just enjoy it some. So.
Yep, get your head straight for next year.
Yeah.
Well, brother, it was good talking to you. And like I said, we were late to find out that you got some dirt under your feet. And
that was awesome.
Yeah,
we need to go. Everybody needs to go
for,
to get a chance at the Royal.
Praying,
one time.
We were praying for your safe returns and everything. Well, we're going to go out there one year. We said we were. You know, we can go next year already, of course. But, we'll just have to wait and see. You know, we'd want to go out there with friends and stuff. So,
next year,
good time.
You need to go. I mean, it's awesome. And I don't like barbecue anymore because we cook it so much. But Oklahoma Joe's, the Z-Man, you will love. With the provolone cheese, fried onion rings, the sauce. You know, and the shredded brisket, the sliced brisket is just, it's unreal, you know.
Yeah, I think that's Rod Gray's favorite place to eat at out there, so, you know.
Oh, yeah, it was good. Yeah, and like I said, you know, Rod's sitting right behind us, him and his wife, and, you know, talking to us, you know, and everything. Of course, I know him because of, you know, Dad, Bob, and, you know, like I said, it was a magical time. It was awesome. Plus, we got a 2x2 banner that we bought, and I got a ton of them all to sign it all over the place. So that's going to get framed with our two little ribbons and go up on the wall for the first time we went to the Royal. And hopefully down
cool.
the years, maybe I'll get lucky like Big Brother and get me one of them big crowns.
There you go. All right, brother, be safe and keep the streets safe and stay out of harm's way, buddy.
All right, tell Miss Jan we love her too and miss y'all guys.
All right, tell Celeste the same. We miss y'all and hopefully we'll see y'all. Hopefully we can get to the banquet together or something.
Okay. All right, brother.
All right, buddy.
Thanks for letting me be on the show
as
always. I appreciate it. It means a lot.
Hey, no problem. It's my pleasure, buddy. My pleasure.
All right, Jim.
And, all right, take care.
All righty. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. That was David Morrow from Blue Bloods. Of course, everybody who on the East Coast knows the bad luck he's had this year. And it's great to see him turn things around down at American Royale. His first time going and having such a great time. And we haven't made it yet, but we're going to try to make it one year. I do want to thank my sponsors, Butcher Barbecue, Big Daddy's Bar and Grill, Royal Oak, Fireside, Ricky Q Products, Springer Mountain Farms. Especially like to thank, you know, of course, Rob Gray for giving us the tool to use, and also the Southern Q Smokers for being behind us 100%. If you want a great quality smoker, give Scott or Tim a call at Southern Q Smokers and get you one, because I'm going to tell you what, you can't, for the money, you can't beat them. Really enjoy them, get some sleep at night, cook, whole nine yards. They're a great bunch of guys. I think that's about covered all of our sponsors. And I do want to give a shout-out again to my Cupine Nation brothers out there. Haven't been given a whole lot of recognition to, but you know what? We had some out there, American Royale. They all got dirt under their feet. You had a good showing. So y'all be safe coming home. And we'll see you at a contest pretty soon. And like I said, we're just elated to be where we're at. And we're just thankful to have all the friends and family out there in the barbecue world. This is Jim Berg from Barbecue Superstars signing off to next week. Good smoking luck this weekend.